Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Zevachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Gimel. We're holding right at the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis, right at the Halak Mishnah. So we've been discussing up until now all of the issues of Pigel, what different machshavas we have, the difference between machshavas Pigel of Shalom is Michutz Zmanai or Michutz Lamekaymai. What happens if there's a mixture of Machshavas? Which part of the Zvicha is Ma'akev that should actually create the Pigel? And so on and so forth. But there's a very important component of Pigel that we've left out. We talked about Bosser that's Reila Achilas Adam. We talked about Bosser or Emurim that is Ru'in for Achilas HaMizbeach. We spoke about Dam and the Shirayim of the Dam and what things can be Nesa because of Pigel, what things can create Pigel, but we never actually discussed the next issue in the Mishnah. And that is, remember that as we've always stressed, Pigel consists of very different components. One is the thing that you're being Mefagel, and that's the actual things that you may be eating afterwards. So you're being mefagel the korban. The other is the machshava of the pigel in the matir. So we have four matirin. The other is what it is that you're planning to do when you have that machshava with the matir. That doesn't mean you actually did it, but what you had in machshava to do. So that was a question of eating something that was roi for achilas adam, or something that was going to be put on the mizbeach that was roi for the achilas mizbeach, and that included not only zvicha, but even the zrika of dam, and even shvicha shirai. So those were very separate components, but we never pointed out that the fact that there are these different components, that is to say, that the pigel is presented in the Parsha of Shlomim, which the whole Pigel appears in, as something that has to do with a machshava on a matir about something that has to do with the thing that you're being matir. But suppose there is no matir for this thing. Suppose this thing itself is the matir. Is it possible to make something Pigel when you're actually having a machsheves pigel on the matir, despite the fact that that particular item is the matir? So for instance, let's say you're bringing a korban mincha. Now remember that the komets of the mincha is the equivalent of the actual shrita of the korban, remember? But the thing is that it's a little bit interesting that the komets itself is the thing that you're going to actually be eating. But that means if you do a kmitza with a kavana for what? The kmitza is the matir. Now, your kavana is going to be for what? For bringing up this kometz at the wrong time on the mizbeah? Okay, let's say. So now, if you go ahead and you eat that kometz instead, well, I mean, that should be pigel, right? Because you were mefagel the carbon. The carbon in this case is the mincha, and that mincha includes that kometz. You will not be chayav on pigel. Why? Because a matir is never the result of the pigel. It's never the it could be the object of the pigel, but it can't be the object that is nesar by the pigel. So you can do a kmitza. Okay, that's a matir. Almenat, to eat the komets, okay, that's the object, and then the mincha becomes pigel. But if you eat the komets, would you be chayev? No. Why not? This is part of the korban. Because the matir itself is only able to be the matir component of the pigel. It can't be the koris component of the achila of the pigel. The matir itself can never become usher bepigel. It just creates the pigel. I mean, yes, becomes usher, but not the chi of koras that we're describing in pigel. So this is a wholly new issue, which cements in our minds the differences of the various components of the issues of pigel, which have now become quite complex and are now, I think, despite that, very clear in our minds. So let's take a list of those kind of things, which are themselves the matir, despite the fact that they are perfectly edible. And you'd think that if a carbon of these things became pigle, you'd think that if you ate it, you'd be chay of karas, but you're not. So elo devarim she'in chayavim aleihem mishum pigle. And all of these things are going to be the kind of things that you are actually able to eat, but they're not going to be usher simply because they do not have a matir that can make them pigle. They are the matir that makes the pigle in the first place. So you've got the komets, as we just explained, as an example. You've got the ketoret. The ketoret is basically matir itself. You've got the lavona, which you have to put on the mizbeach at the end, but there's nothing that actually itself, other than it's bringing itself, that is matir, the rest of the mincha along with itself, but then it's the matir. Exactly the same as the komets is when it's put on the mizbeach. And then we've got the entire Minchas Kohanim, because remember, the Minchas Kohanim is brought entirely up on the Mizbeach, so it doesn't have a separate komets. So then that means there's no matir, because you don't put the komets on and then put the mincha on, you put the whole mincha on. If the whole mincha is put on, then that means it is essentially being matir itself, because there was no separate kmitza. The mincha of the Kohen Mashiach, this is the same idea, except that it's referring to the chavitim. Remember that the Kohen Gadol would bring a korban mincha half in the morning, half in the afternoon, every single day, and that's also burned on the mizbeach, just like any other minchas kohen, and it does not have a separate matir, and therefore, even though it can become pigel, you would not be chayev on it a pigel. We're going to learn all of these things out. I mean, there's only one thing, really. We're going to learn this yesod out, that something which has no matir cannot become nesar with a chiyav koras from the pasuk. Okay, what about dam? Well, the dam is the matir of the korban. How about nisachim? Well, nisachim, that's an interesting situation, because when you go ahead and you bring a korban that is mechayev you in minchas nisachim, which, remember, we read every time that we talk about Umin Chatam V'Nizkehem Kimidu Bar, and then we've got every single time we've got a Karma Musaf, let's say, it stresses what those Nesachim are. Of course, those Nesachim are Chayim, even on your own Karbanas. But let's say you bring those Karbanas, and you didn't have the Minchas Nesachim with the Karban at the time that you brought it. So we learn out from a pasuk, minchatam v'nizkehem can be even later, even a week later you could bring it. So it's biyom, or it can be the next day or the next week. So if you're bringing them on their own, or there's another possibility here, there's such a thing as a carbon that you bring which consists of nesachim, and you can make a nedava of a carbon nesachim, interestingly enough. But if you do, there is no separate matir, because you simply bring the entire thing on the mizbeach. So even though you could have a machshavas pigol when you're doing that, whatever it is that you do for your minchas nesachim, it's going to never be chayev in koras because of pigol. But suppose you do bring those nesachim together with your zevach, then the halacha is that you have to first bring the zevach, and then you can bring the nesachim. Now, that is basically saying that the zevach is the matir of the nesachim, right? Of the minchas nesachim, which consists both of the mincha and the wine that you're pouring on the mizbeach. So then, if it's not boim bifnei atzman, the zevach and the zrikas hadam of the zevach is matir the nesachim. So those kind of nesachim do have a matir. But the nesachim that are boim bifnei atzmam, either as a separate korban or as a delayed nesachim for a korban that you brought a day ago or a week ago, those do not have a separate matir. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachomim omrim, since theoretically you can bring the nesachim later, or on their own as a separate carbon, even afa ba'im ima be'ima, even if you are bringing nesachim together with the zevach, and it's true that you're not allowed to bring the nesachim until you bring the zevach, but that doesn't mean that the zevach is a matir, because how is it possible that we need the zevach to be a matir, and that nonetheless we're able to bring it as a carbon on its own without any zevach? Does that make sense? So since theoretically they can be brought on their own, we cannot look at the zevach as the essential matir. It's just the order in which it's brought. It's true. First bring the zevach, then bring the nesachim, like it says, zevach u'nesachim, it says in the Torah. But that doesn't make it a matir, say the Chachamim. Let's go on to some other cases. How about the log shemen of the mitzora? So remember that together with his karbonais, which has to be an oila and a chatas and the osham, the mitzora has to bring also a log shemen. So after we use the dam of the osham and we put it on, remember, his right ear and his right thumb and his right toe, all of that has to then be followed by a zrika. We talked about this yesterday when we were talking about where do we see that sheva, zrika sheva is always ma'akev. Where is zrika sheva ma'akev? So Rav Papa told us zrika sheva is ma'akev by the mitzora. That was one of the cases. That's what we're talking about over here. Now that zrika sheva towards the heichal then is followed by actually putting on that shemen to the same places where we had previously put the dam. And then the shirayim of the luk shemen, the rest of it, was actually eaten. It was eaten by the kayanim. So they used it for whatever it was that they were making salad with or whatever. They had beautiful luk shemen. So in that case, the luk shemen of the mitzera, tainas Rebbe Shimon, well, it doesn't really make a iser pigel, if let's say, I mean, you can make the osham pigel, but it's not going to make the shemen, which is brought after you bring the osham pigel, because it's true that you can't put on that shemen until after you use the dama osham, but that doesn't mean it's matir, for the same reason that we just discussed about the nesachim. You don't have to bring the luk shemen of the mitzera and put it on the mitzera the same time that you're bringing the, even though, I mean, obviously that's the normal thing to do, but it's not ma'akev. You could bring the luk shemen a week later. So after you had put on, you brought all of the karbonas, the eula and the chatas and the asham, and then a week later you come along and you bring the luk shemen and have the shemen applied and so on, you're not going to be running into any kind of problems. So how can something be a matir? That's basically the same issue that we just had. Binogea, the question of the minchas hamon is kehem. Same thing is true about the luk shemen shel mitzora. Since it doesn't have to be there together with the actual dam of the asham, it only has to be put on the place of the body after you used the dam asham a week ago. So therefore, Taina's Rebbe Shimon, that's not called a matir. And Rebbe Meir says exactly the same thing that he said a moment ago, v'nogea mincha v'nesach, that in the event that you are bringing it together with the carbon, then the carbon is a matir. So here too, in the event that you're bringing the luk shemen with mitzora, which of course was standard practice, so then that would mean that the dam of the zevach was actually a matir for the shemen, because you needed to have the asham's dam in order to be able to use the luk shemen. So it's the same thing. Because your chayev, says Rebbe Meir, because Rishu Pigo, because the dam of the asham is necessary if you're bringing it at the same time. It's necessary in order to be able to use it. And kol sheyesh lo matirin, whether it's lo adam or lo mizbeach, it's true that the shemen isn't put on the mizbeach, but that doesn't matter. Because remember, Pigo is also going to be chal on something that is roif achilas adam. So therefore, if it has a matir, it doesn't matter whether the matir is for the kohen, the matir is for the bailim, the matir is for the mizbeach. Once it has a matir, chayavin alav mishum pigo, and this therefore has a matir, tainis Rebbe Meir, since you can't do it without it. And therefore, as long as it's something of a carbon that was itself made pigo and it has a matir, you'd be chayav. Now, there's also a reason for us to point out examples of this, because you wouldn't think of it maybe on your own. Because, look, think about this. Normally you think about basar, right? And basar, okay, the basar is what's the part for adam. Not necessarily, because when it comes to korban ola, the dam is matir the basar for the mizbeach. The dam is also matir the skin of the animal for the kohanim, but that doesn't mean that you'll be chayav on eating the skin, obviously, because we said before it's not roi lachila. Okay, let's talk about an ola sa'of. So an ola sa'of is actually, it doesn't have any kind of direct zrika because you don't put that dam in a kli. But nonetheless, since you are supposed to take that dam, well, take the bird anyway, v'nimtza damo al kir ha-mizbeach, the mitsui of the dam, this is a new word, Gavi, mitsui of dam, which is another form of nesinas dam. We've had shvicha when it comes to shvicha shirayim, or we've had shvicha when it comes to the din of nesinas dam of a korban pesach, or a bechor, or a maaser. And we've had, of course, chitui, which is the nesina, otherwise known, of putting it on the keren. We've had zrika of most of the korbanas, which is Shnayim Shein Arba, where it comes from a kos that you've now actually applied force to so that the dam is splatters over the two sides. This introduces a new term, which is called mitsui, and that's when it comes to the ofos. There's no kabos hadam in a kos. There is a squeezing out of the dam against the side of the mizbeach, alkir ha-mizbeach, v'nimtza damo alkir ha-mizbeach. This is after the malika. So in that case, if you've got an ola of an oaf, what's done with it? It's burned on the mizbeach, but it has a matir. The dam is matir, it's basar for the mizbeach. If you go ahead now and eat that, so then you're eating pigo, even though we're talking about basar. But it's basar for the mizbeach. Okay, nonetheless, you go ahead and eat it. Once it becomes pigel, it's pigel. Now, when it comes to the chatas ha'of, nothing is put on the mizbeach except for the dam. But that means that the kohanim who are going to be eating the basar of the chatas ha'of, they have a matir. What's that matir? Mitzur. So, dama matir b'sara l'kohanim. Even the parima nisrafim, v'si'irima nisrafim, which need to be burned. So you say, well, I mean, if they're going to be burned, then they're not matir anything for Adam, are they? And if they're going to be burned, there's no basar that we're being matir for the mizbeach. So if I eat the basar, how could I be chayev? Wrong. There's a murim that are going to be put on the mizbeach. Once the matir is there, there's clearly a matir now for that, for those emurim. That means that the korban has become pigel. Once the korban becomes pigel, the meat that you would eat instead of burning would be chayav in pigel because it's part of a korban that was mefugal. And even though you're not supposed to be eating it, but if you go ahead and eat it, it's something that is roy for the adam. And therefore, you would be chayav for pigel, you see? So since the dam is matir the emurim li karev, so because of that, the achila of the mizbeach becomes also. This is making it very, very clear how the different elements of pigel are not interrelated with each other necessarily. You see, you are having a machsheves pigel on something that is actually has a matir, namely, it's supposed to be put on the mizbeach. Fine, so you had the machsheves pigel on those emurim. That is classic pigel. Matir, the object of the machshava, and then the object that becomes aser. It's got all those three components, and therefore there's no problem of applying the dinim of pigel to it, despite the fact that they're in different entities. You're going to be eating the meat, and the pigel was done to the emurim. That's not important. And therefore, in that case, there would also be pigel. And here is where we come to the machlokas that we've had several times before, in which Rabbi Shimon says, Kol she'eno al ha-mizbeach ha-chitzon kishlamim, ein chayavan alav mishum pigel. It may be true that in terms of the analysis of the matir and the components of pigel, It may be absolutely true that this is fulfills all the requirements of Pigel, but you're making a big mistake, says Rabbi Shimon, because where is Pigel presented? Remember that so many of the dinim of the Karbonas, of this all strange things, have their essential model in the Karban Shlomim. There's nowhere else where the Torah discusses Pigel. It's all in terms of Shlomim. Therefore, Tanya's Rabbi Shimon, if Shlomim is the model, well, then the most powerful aspect of that model is that it's discussing things that are done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. You cannot apply a model of Shlomim to a Purim v'Se'irim and Nisrafim, which by definition are not being done on the Mizbeach HaChitzon k'Shlomim. And therefore, there's bichlal no din of Pigel on anything that has to do with a carbon that's brought bifnim. So forget about applying the standards. There's no Pigel. So this, of course, was something that we had discussed several times before. Now we're finally getting to the Mishnah that defines it, and we'll be getting into Gemara to an understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachami. So let's take a look at some of the implications of this Mishnah, which says that the Kometz does not have a chiyuv of Pigel. Ula comes along and makes a statement which makes no sense on the surface. Listen to what he says. Kometz Pigel, Shehelo Agabe HaMizbeach, if you went ahead and brought along to the Mizbeach the Kometz of the Mincha that you had already made Pigel. So your Machshava was, I am going to bring up this Kometz Chutz L'Mekomo, or Chutz L'Zmano, if it's a Chiyuv Kares, and then you actually don't do that. You just go ahead and you do the right thing, and you put it on the Mizbeach. Well, it no longer is Pigel, and whatever that means. So Paka Pigula Mimeno, the Pigel has popped off of it. Because, after all, now listen, this next piece is completely insane. Because, look, if it makes other things Pigel, shouldn't it itself be Pigel? What in the world? You just said it itself is not Pigel, and then you're telling me, because, after all, if the Kometz is able to make the rest of the Mincha Pigel, how would it itself not be Pigel? What? My karma, what the heck? First he tries to say that there is no Pigel, and he justifies that by saying, of course there must be Pigel, because it itself can be Mefagel other things. Now, of course, this relates to the curious interrelationship between the elements of the Pigel. We've got the Matir, which makes everything Pigel, but now we're saying, but the Matir itself does not become Pigel, and therefore the Kometz itself, you would be Poka Pigulo Imenu. So Ula is clearly bringing our attention to the focus on that interesting interrelationship. But it doesn't make any sense what he says. So Mike Omar, what's he trying to say when he says Poka Pigulo? Well, what he meant to say is, look, now this is an argument that we had before. Let me just remind you. Just yesterday, we were talking about that in the event that you made the Dom Pigel in one of the sets that were brought, either Lifnai V'Lifnim on Yom Kippur, or on the Parochet on Yom Kippur, or on the Mizbeach HaZahav on Yom Kippur. So one of the arguments that we made yesterday was that, well, at that point, the Dom becomes Pusel, and if it became Pusel, so then it turns into water for all intents and purposes. It's no longer kosher Dom. So how would you ever be able to make Pigel? Because Pigel can only happen as a Chiyuv of Pigel after Zrika, but you don't have any Dom left to do the Zrika on. Remember that argument? So Rava dismissed that argument yesterday. He said, because for Pigel, Pigel is perfect. Now, of course, we know that Pigel is a consistent other reality. The problem that we had there yesterday was because part of it was done with one reality, because it had four different sets. Obviously, in a normal carbon where the whole thing is brought for Pigel, so then the Dom of Pigel is the Dom for Pigel, of course. That was the question we had yesterday. Now here, we've got the same question. Because remember that the Kometz, even though the Kmitza is the Shechita, But the Hakrovas HaKometz is the Zrika, remember? Because that's when you actually put the Matir on the Mizbeach. For a Mincha, which is the equivalent of the Zrikas HaDam, putting the Matir on a Zevach. I know I'm reviewing this again and again and again, but it's just so important to keep in mind the Arba Matirin in their different forms. You know why? Not only because it's so wonderful to actually start getting a complete picture of the Inyanim of Kachim, but it's so wonderful because it shows you the abstraction of the concept of the Matir. Like this, you focus on a particular thing. When you realize that Kmitza is Shchita, huh? Yeah, man. And Haktora is Zrika. What? So you're able to abstract in your mind the issues of what's going on when we're talking about Matirim, you see? But if you become literal and you actually keep focusing on the act, this gets very confusing, but it's really very straightforward. So that's why I keep stressing it. So please forgive me, but try to flow with it. Anyway, so the same argument that we had yesterday about the Dom turning into water, essentially, so then the same argument can be made over here. And maybe that's what Ula was saying. Ula was saying, look, if the idea is that it's eno mitkabel, if the komets is not kosher because it turned into pigo, how could it actually be the equivalent of a zrika, which makes the rest of the carbon pigle? It isn't kosher. So it's, again, the equivalent of yesterday's argument, the blood turned into water. Okay, so the komets over here turned into nothing. It's junk. And therefore, how could it be maybe the rest of the carbon to pigle? Same idea we had yesterday. And Ula Tainas, that yes, this is absolutely true. It's got to be that once you're actually bringing that komets, that since the Torah says that that's how to be mechayev pigel on a mincha, obviously it's no longer really considered to be pigel. Oh, okay, I mean, so just tell me what that means. So my kamashmo, what are the practical implications of this? I mean, whether we look at it as it's not pigel, or we look at it as we did yesterday, that since in the world of pigel, it's the only way that you complete the pigel, therefore it's the equivalent of an alternative reality. I mean, who cares? Is there a difference? Like, what's Ula telling us when he says paka pigulo? It's just a theory? So my kamashmo, is he trying to tell us, well, since that must be the case in theory, so therefore, when you actually put the pigle on the Mizbeach, it pops off and there's no more pigle, and therefore, if you eat it, you're not chayef for pigle. That's ridiculous. Because you're not chayef for pigle because it doesn't have a matir. I mean, our Mishnah already said that point. This is a completely different issue. I don't need Ula to tell me paka pigulov in order to tell me you're not chayef. Of course you're not chayev. This is one of the long list of things that have no matirin, and that's why you're not chayev. Why are we talking about poka pigulo in this new world of Ula? That makes no sense. Is that what he's telling us? I mean, the Mishnah already said, because it's something else, you're not chayev mishum pigo. Elu dvarim she'ein chayev en alei mishum pigo. Hakometz, okay, that's what we're talking about. So HaKometz, HaKtora, Talavona, Minchas Kohani, Minchas Kohani, Mashiach, Minchas Tesachim, VaHadam. So, okay, it's not Ula's logic that takes off the chorus of Pigel. It's the fact that it'll never be Chayev and Pigel because it doesn't have a Matir. So forget that. So what did Ula mean, practically speaking? Does Ula have any application in the real world? Maybe what Ula meant was that since Paka Pigulei, therefore, once I put it on the Mizbeach, and somebody comes in shouting and says, wait a minute, that's Pussel, get that off of the Mizbeach, that's Pigel. So Ula's saying, no, once it's on the Mizbeach, now the Pigel popped off, leave it on the Mizbeach. Is that the point? That im olu lo yerdu? I mean, we know that in the Mishnah we're going to have later on. The Mishnah's got a whole list of things, which we've spoken about many times, a whole list of things which im olu lo yerdu. And it says, Beferish, in that Mishnah, something that was lan, so it was left over its time, or it was taken out of a yotze, which made it posol, or it became tame, and something was nishchat chutz v'zmano chutz l'mikomo, which means it's pigol, im olu lo yerdu, the Ferish Mishnah. Once it's on the Mizbeach, don't take it down. So I don't need Ula to tell me that. So then what does Ula mean? Maybe it meant like this, that Ula is saying that Paka pigulo, that im yardu, you should even be yalu. Maybe that's what he's saying, because there's a big difference between im olu lo yardu. Okay, once it's on the Mizbeach, don't take it off of the Mizbeach. But that implies that once it comes off of the Mizbeach, don't put it on the Mizbeach. So maybe Ula meant to say that once it was put on the Mizbeach, then even if it was taken off of the Mizbeach or popped off of the Mizbeach, it should be put back on the Mizbeach. Maybe that's what Ula is saying, and it's perfectly kosher, as opposed to all the other things which don't become kosher once you put them on the Mizbeach. But actually, that's not true, because in that very same Mishnah, it says that just like im olu lo yerdu, im yerdu lo yalu. So how could Ula go against the Mishnah? So that's not true either. I'm really confused. So what is he talking about? It says, this is the Mishnah we're going to have later on, that kishem she'im alu lo yerdu, kach im yerdu lo yalu. So then Ula is not saying anything meaningful. No, wait a minute. Ula's introducing a new idea. The new idea is, mashla bahen ha'ul. Once the fire on the Mizbeach is already burning on that thing, and later on we're going to discuss what extent is considered mashal bahen ha'ul, but that means that something has become, this is, I think, also worthwhile saying as a concept, Gavi, and that is nase lachmo shel mizbeach. Lachmo shel mizbeach, the idea of lachmo shel mizbeach, is based on the pasuk. V'hayah mizbeach kodesh kodashim. You remember this pasuk back in Shmos, where we built the mizbeach, and we put the Sheben HaMishcha. So what does it say over there? That once you do the kedusha on the mizbeach with Mashicha, v'hayah mizbeach kodesh kodashim, kol hanogea b'mizbeach yigdash. What does that mean? Anything that touches the mizbeach itself becomes holy. So what does that mean? That means that once you put something on the mizbeach and it becomes the lachma shel mizbeach, it becomes kodesh, even if initially it had been posel. And that means Ula is saying even if it's nasik, the lachma shel mizbeach, and it came down off of the Mizbeach, it goes back up again. And the Mishnah was not referring to a case where it was not Selach Vashem Mizbeach. The Mishnah that says, Kishem she'im yardu, im olu lo yardu, kachim yardu lo yalu, that was talking about a case where it was Enonasa, Lach Vashem Mizbeach, was on the Mizbeach, but it wasn't Moshe Bama'ur. Maybe that's what he's telling us. I don't need Ula to tell us that, because Ula already said that halacha. Hanami Omar Ula Chodazimna. The Omar Ula. Ula talked about that Mishnah directly. And we don't need this business about Poka Pigulo Emenu. When we learn that Mishnah later on, we're going to learn it together with Ula's Pirish. The Omar Ula. When did that Mishnah say that you don't bring it back up again, and that kishem she'im olu lo yerdu, kach im yordu lo yalu? That's only lo shamur ala shalom ashla behen ha'ur. That's only if the fire of the Mizbeach is not already taken over. Ava mashla behen ha'ur, then you bring them up again. So why do I need Ula to repeat the din that he said beferish on that Mishnah, and then to repeat it in this, like, roundabout way to tell me poka piguloi, which is basically saying exactly the same thing, because we thought about every possible meaning to Shmuel's very opaque statement, and this was the only thing that it could have meant. So what's going on? Why did he repeat it? Ah, he needed to repeat it, you see. Because if he hadn't told us that this halacha is true about the kometz, I would have thought, and Mao de Tema, this halacha that Ula said on the Mishnah later on, which was referring to Zvachim, not to Menachas, and it was referring to various Evarim that were put on the Mizbeach, I would have thought, yeah, that makes sense. Marshal Bema'ur. So let's say you have a leg on the Mizbeach, which the fire of the Mizbeach is now burning part of that Aver. I leave the whole thing on the Mizbeach, but that's because it's all one piece. I mean, when you're talking about the comets, you're talking about a minchas solet. The comets is powder. So, I mean, what are you saying? There was the ur of the Mizbeach was marshla on what? On the little tiny pieces that it's burning. I mean, not the rest of it. I mean, do we look at it as if it's a solid piece? And because the ur of the Mizbeach was shalet, therefore the whole thing is allowed to remain? I mean, whatever wasn't burning wasn't burning. So that part shouldn't be put up again. That's why Ula has to repeat the same halacha when it comes to the kometz, because I might have thought kometz, the mifrat, kometz which just scatters into a little powder, emalo, maybe I wouldn't say that, because a part of the kometz was burning, therefore leave the whole kometz on. I'll leave on whatever's burning and take on, not put up something that isn't burning. Kamashmala, no, it's a din in the halachic definition of the issue that is now Mashal Ben Ma'ur, you see? So it's I would have thought it was a physical thing. Mashmalan, it's a definitive thing, and it doesn't respond necessarily to its physicality of being one piece. That's not the issue. Omer Avachai, once we've abstracted this halacha in this fashion, then I want to point out that what you might think is that if you put up the kometz and it comes off of the Mizbeach, then you would put it back on if part of that kometz was burning, right? That's what you're saying. But suppose you never put it up in the first place. Suppose you only put up part of the kometz and you left the rest of the kometz down on the ground. And the part of the kometz that you put onto the Mizbeach started burning. What about then? Well, once you've abstracted the idea, you need to swallow the abstraction in its entirety. Because what this implies is that we look at the kometz as if it's a single entity. Well, if we look at the kometz as if it's a single entity, then we don't need for the physical reality of the kometz to be on the Mizbeach at all, don't you see? So if you never brought the kometz up, but the part that you did bring up was Marshal Bemaor, you would still go up, bring the rest of it up, even though it had never been up before. And that, too, would be the equivalent of Im Yardu Ya'alu. But they were never on. That's not the point. The point is the abstraction. Abstractly, they were on, because we're viewing the comets as an entirety. See? Are we clear about this? Are the bears coming to attack Moshe Reuven? Or are we simply just not getting any response because there are drones on top and he's looking up? I'm not sure. Well, which one is it, man? Gosh. I'm telling you, you get so much satisfaction out of giving this daf. I mean, I can't even begin to explain to you how profoundly satisfying it is. Okay, so to continue, man. All right, so let's
end response.
Thank you. So Omer Rav Achai, Hilkach, High Kometz Pigel. The same thing would be true. If Palge Mochita'ar, you left half of it on the ground. You never put it on the Mizbeach. But Palge Aske Amarocha, you put the other half on the Mizbeach, and Moshla Ba'ur on the part that you put up, you'd bring the whole thing up, even Lechatchila. Masikten Lelekule Lechatchila. Why? Because the abstraction is precisely the same. Omer Rav Yitzchak, Omer Rav Yochanan. The truth is, why are we talking only about Pigel? If you put on Pigel, or Noser, or Tameh, and you put them on the Mizbeach, in all of these cases, Poka Isur Mehem, they are no longer going to be whatever it was they were. So the Pigo will put it back down. The Noser and the Tame, you're not going to be Chayev. I mean, you're not going to be Chayev on Pigo either, but that's because of another reason anyway, which is that it doesn't have a Matir. I mean, here it actually means you wouldn't be Chayev for eating Noser or Tame once it was put on the Mizbeach. Omer of Chista, Mori Dechi, I understand. Whoever it is that made this comment over here, what do you think? You think the Mizbeach is a mikvah of some kind? You take something that's Tame, you put it on the Mizbeach, poof, now it becomes Tahar. Now, what kind of sense is that? I don't know what you're saying. Since when is the Mizbeach a mikvah? So does this mean that you actually make it? Now, obviously, this is again, a very misleading conversation, because in reality, all that he was saying was not that it's not Tame. All he said was Poka Iser Mehem. So why are we asking, is the Mizbeach a Mikvah Taira? He never said that it's Tahar. So how did we get to a completely wrong understanding of what it was that Reb Yitzchak was quoting from Reb Yochanan in the first place? It's like a weird kind of thing to say, Mizbeach Mikvah Taira? Of course not. That must mean, obviously, Reb Chista is not crazy. So when Reb Chista said the words, Mizbeach Mikvah Taira, he meant, is the Mizbeach Mikvah Taira for the Isser of the Tuma? Because essentially, in doing this, you're taking away the implications of Tuma, and it's acting like a Mikvah Taira. That's the point. So therefore, says Rabbi Zeira, the point over here is that Rabbi Yitzchak was quoting Rabbi Yochanan only benogea moshla behen ha'ur. So over there, what he's saying is that it's the iser of putting it back on that we're talking about. All that Rabbi Yitzchak was saying is not that it becomes tahar, but he's referring to the iser of achila that has this abstraction of Naseh Lach Mashal Mizbeach. That's all he was referring to, which is essentially what it was that Rabbi Zeira was answering. Of course it's not a Mizbeach Taira, but it is definitely a Kol HaNogea B'Mizbeach Yigdash, isn't it? I mean, we're not arguing on the Pasuk, are we? So that Yigdash means that it no longer has Isurim that are associated with it. Now, the question is that actually true? Masiv Reb Yitzchak Bar Bisna, is that the reality? Because take a look at the Pasuk. Remember, the Pasuk is HaNefesh Asher Tochal Basar Mizevach HaShlamim Asher LaHashem V'Tumato Alav V'Nichreta HaNefesh Ahi Me'Ameha. If it's possible for you to actually take out your Chumash, because this requires a real familiarity with the three psukim that we're going to be actually talking about over here that are discussing the dinim of the dam. So if you're able to take out your Chumash, that would be very useful. And let's talk about the psukim, because there's three psukim, actually, that I'd like you to look at. All three of the psukim, because otherwise it's going to be a bit confusing. So let's take a look at Perek Zayin in Vayikra, Pasuk Chaf. So we've gotten to the point in which we're discussing Zot Torat Zevach Hashlami. So in Shlishi, in Parshas Tzav, that's where we're given over all of these dinim that we were talking about Shlomi being the model for. And this is the dinim of a lot of different issues, including the issue of Pigo and including the issue of the Isser of eating while the person is Tomei. That's called Tumat HaGuf. Or the Isser of eating Kachim when the Kachim is Tomei. And that's called Tumas Bosa. So let's see how the Torah presents it. Immediately after describing the dinim of our favorite pasuk of Pigel, Ve'im he'ach ol ye'ach el mipsar zevach shelamav b'yom ha'shelishi lo yeratzer. Remember, what a pasuk that was, man. We analyzed every single word in that pasuk to be able to derive chutz lezmano and chutz lemikomo and all of the details of the dinim of the various machshavas being nogea one or the other, and the chiyav of kores, and why the chiyav of kores is only on chutz lezmano and not on chutz lemikomo. I just wanted to remind you of how much fun it was. Obviously, we don't really need to look at that pasuk right now. But anyway, right after that pasuk, yum, yum, we move on to the next pasuk, which starts talking about Tuma. So the next pasuk, pasuk Yotet, says, Vehabasar, oh, you'll remember that, what's that extra Vehabasar at the end of the pasuk, and that's Marba Chibas HaKedesh, remember that? And all the fun about the Levena, which is not Roy Lachila, or how about the wood? If you eat the wood, you're even chayev on the wood, because even though it's not Roy Lachila, normally wouldn't be shayech for Tuma. But Chibas HaKedesh is actually makes it into the equivalent of an Eichlin, and it's so many delicious things that we've learned out from this psukim. But all right, I'll force myself to focus on the new stuff. So, Habasar Asher Yiga Bechol Tameh Lo Yechel. Now, that's obviously talking about the meat being Tameh, right? It says, Beferish, the meat touched something Tameh should not be eaten. Be'eshi Sarev. V'habasar kol tahor yochol basar. If you've got basar and you are tahor, then you should eat that meat. But, continues the next pasuk, v'hanefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlamim asher la'ashem. Please, you need to concentrate on this pasuk. So, hanefesh asher tochal basar. Is that lashon nekeva or lashon zachar? That's lashon nekeva. A nefesh asher tochal basar. V'tumato alav. What? What do you mean, tumato alav? Wait a minute. We just switched. We were talking about lashon nekeva a minute ago. I mean, if we're talking about the person, shouldn't it have said v'tumato is alav? We should have said tumata aleha, right? If it's referring to the person. I don't know. So it sounds like we've switched gears. And now we're talking about, and the tuma is on that basar. So it seems to be saying. Then it switches back to lashon nekeva. V'nichrita ha-nefesh ahi me'amea. So it seems to be saying that an individual who would eat the basar tamei is going to be chayev kares. Okay, interesting. Next pasuk, which sounds like a complete repetition. V'nefesh asher tiga b'chol tamei. Oh, wait a minute. But you were talking about the individual himself is Tameh. This nefesh touched something which is Tameh, whether it was Tumas Adam, maybe it was Tumas Meis, maybe it was a Nevela, Behema Tameya, or maybe it was a Sheketz Tameh that had died. So he touched something that was Metameh him. And then he went ahead, V'yachal mipsar zevach ha-shlamim asher la'ashem, V'nichrita ha-nefesh ha-himei ameha. Seems to be saying the same thing, like numerous times. What's the point of this pasuk? However, I ask you, please, to note that this pasuk, despite the fact that it's obviously referring to the tuma of the individual, because it says ha-nefesh, nefesh ki tiga b'chol tamei b'tumat adam, also does the male-female switch. It starts off with nefesh ki tiga, and then it says v'achal, but achal should have said v'achla. All of a sudden, the nefesh becomes a male when it's eating. Oh, wait a minute. So that's doing the same thing it did in the previous pasuk, which had led us to think that the previous pasuk maybe was referring to the tuma of the basar and not the tuma of the person. So please take all of this into consideration now that you've been sensitized to the various issues that are happening over here. The repetitiveness, the strange change in gender. And let's take a look and see whether now we can make it very clear, in as we have the Braita, of what the pasuk is referring to, Tumas Basar or the Tuma of the individual. So, it says in a Braita like this, The Pusik insists for Tumato a love. Oh, I say, it cannot be referring to the Tuma of the Busser. Why not? Tumato a love just is not referring to the Venichrita, is it? It's the Tumato a love. And the a love would mean on the Busser, because before we were talking about Shetseva Tumato Aleha. So that's what I think. Oh, but it cannot, you see. Because the Acherim explain, if you're talking about Vitumato Alav, you're talking about while the Tuma is still there. What do you mean, while the Tuma is still there? If it's referring to Basar, can the Tuma not be there? I mean, once it's Tameh, what are you going to do with this Basar? You're going to put it into a mikveh? You can't put Basar into a mikveh. There's no way to take off Tuma from the Basar, right? So it has to be referring to something where you could remove the tuma. Misha tumato porachat mimenu. It's got to be something where the tuma is removable. Uh-huh. That means we can't be referring to the basar, because the tuma cannot be porachat mimenu from the basar. So therefore, what is it referring to? The individual. Now, let me ask you something. Nobody argued on that beautiful diuk. But if what Rabbi Yitzchak said, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, if what he said is true, and when you put it on the Mizbeach, it's no longer Tameh, so then it is possible to be Tuma Parachat Mimenu by putting it on the Mizbeach. Ha ha! So that would mean that for all intents and purposes, we now messed up the Braita, because the Tuma Toa Lav is just as applicable to a case where the meat was Tameh as it is to a case where the person was Tameh. It should be exactly the same, because Hare Tuma Parachat Mimenu Ayidei Ur. All you need to do is put it on the Mizbeach, and then it becomes Tor. Well, Rava says, yeah, but I mean, it doesn't mean that it is going to be Parachat Mimenu in terms of the halacha. It means, like, as a mikveh. It means that you take the tumah off, not that you take off the yisr. No, excuse me, I don't know. Doesn't say, I don't see in my pasuk anything about a mikveh. I mean, mide mikveh ksiv, it says, v'tumato alav. And since the halacha says you can effectively ignore this tumah, so it's not tumato alav on the basar, I think that this is a serious objection. So give me another explanation. Okay. Elamer Papa, I'll give you another explanation. The pasuk that is being discussed over here, these acherim, where is that pasuk referring to? It's referring to the Basar of Ashlamim. That's where this whole discussion is, in the Parsha of Ashlamim. So we have to be talking about Basar Shlamim, Askinan. Well, I got news for you. Basar Shlamim cannot be put on the Mizbeach. It's not roy for being put on the Mizbeach. And if you put it on the Mizbeach, then the Tuma would not be taken off, because this thing is not roy for the Mizbeach. And therefore, the whole halacha would not actually apply. So it would still be Tumato Alav. Ravina says, well, Tumato Alav, I don't like that answer. So Rashi explains the reason I don't like that answer is because there's also Basar of, in terms of the Shlamim, which we learn on in the Pasuk, the reference to that part which is edible in the Emurim that is put on the Mizbeach is going to have the same din as a Basar of Kachi Kachim. So it doesn't really answer that part, because that is right for the Mizbeach, obviously, and then the Tumato Alav would still make sense. So I got a different answer. I say, the Tumato, that means the original Tuma, Alav, while it is itself, the Tuma which was on it while it's itself, not the Tuma that was on it when it's itself, and then it's no longer itself because it's being burned. So I understand the pasuk to be saying, Misha tumato porachat mimenu kishu shalem. You've got to be able to get rid of the tuma without also at the same time getting rid of the thing. It's got to be a love. Mashenka, in the case of the basar, if the basar is whole, then there's no way to get rid of the tuma. And if you get rid of the tuma by putting it on the mizbeach, then it's not a love. So therefore, it still makes perfectly good sense to say Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, It would only be kishul chaser, but then it's not a lav. And the Acherim's argument is still good. By the way, I'm just curious about the pasuk, you know, in that brisa. Let me understand that. Can we look into the psukim themselves? And those were the psukim that we just read together. Gufa. So it says in that pasuk. Well, let's look in the pasuk. It says v'tumato alav, that the nefesh shetochal basar, the actual basar of the zevach shlamim asher la'ashem, v'tumato alav, v'nichrata nefesh ha'imei ha'me'a. So as we said before, the switch between the feminine and the masculine makes it appear that tumato alav is a reference to the tumah being on the basar and not the tumah being on the nefesh, because the rest of the pasuk is all lashon nekeva, right? So it's not very clear. Well, I want to tell you something, says the Braita. We are talking about tumas haguf, not tumas habasar. Says who?
Says me.
You claim we're talking about tumas haguf. I mean, I know how to read this pasuk, and it seems quite clear that we're talking about tumas basar. I'll tell you why I don't say that. Because look at the word tumato alav. Well, we've got that same word, od tumato bo, in the pasuk that talks about the din of knisa lemigdash betuma. Yes, in Bamidbar, I understand, but what's the difference? It's a gzera shava. So it says if you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, o tumato bo, that you're going to be chayev. And you'll be chayev koret in that case. And it compares over there, kol nogea b'meit b'nefesh ha'adam asher yamut, et mishkan Hashem timei, and v'nichrata nefesh ha'im Yisrael, meinida lo zorak alav, etc., etc., o tumato bo. That's referring to going into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Mishkan, without being mitaher. So just like over there it says beferish, that it's referring to tumat haguf, here too, where it's talking about eating kodesh, and it uses the same word, the tumato alav, that too is a reference to tumat haguf. Makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Yossi says, well, you don't need to compare it to anything else, because we're talking about shlamim. It says beferish in the pasuk, shlamim, asher tochal basar mizevach hashlamim v'tumato alav. Now, if you were referring to the basar of the shlamim, do you use the lashon rabim or do you use the lashon yachid? Shlamim is the lashon rabim. So therefore, if it was referring to shlamim, and it talks about the kachim, meaning the shlamim is b'lashon rabim, and the tuma is b'lashon yachid. So then the tuma must be referring to the tuma of the person, because it would have said, if the shlamim were tame, it should have said, v'tumatam alehen. And instead it says, v'tumato alav. So therefore, it's a reference to the individual and not to the shlamim. Therefore, I see that it's referring to tumas haguf. Rebbe says, look, I can prove it very simply. I mean, if you take a look at the next pasuk says beferish, v'nefesh ki tiga b'chol tamei, v'achal mipsar zevach hashlamim. So it says in that pasuk, v'achal, that means that it's the achal betumas haguf, like it says beferish, it says nefesh ki tiga. So that proves that the pasuk is talking about tumas haguf, which is crazy. That's a different pasuk. I mean, if anything, it should prove the opposite, no? The pasuk chav says that the v'achal v'tumato alav, and pasuk chav aleph, which is Rebbe's pasuk, says, in the event that ha-nefesh ki tiga b'chol tamei b'tumat adam v'achal v'nichrata, seems to say that the previous pasuk was talking about tumas basar. What's Rebbe talking about? I could bring a pasuk, which is a different pasuk, to prove that this pasuk is the same as the next pasuk. How do you get that? If anything, it should prove the opposite. And now we finally get to the part of the braita that we discussed earlier. Acherim omrim, V'tumato alav means mi shetuma porachat mimeno. Masha enkein yotza bosar she'en tuma porachat mimeno. Now, would you mind explaining to me what the heck Rebbe is talking about? Omar mar, Rebbe amar v'achal v'tumat aguf ha'katuv b'daberu. Can you explain that to me? How does the next pasuk prove that the previous pasuk was talking about the same thing? If anything, it should prove the opposite. What's he trying to say? My mashma. Omar Rava, let me tell you guys something. If you never heard the way that Rav Yitzchak Bar Ovigdimi teaches you to read a pasuk, you don't know nothing about reading a pasuk. And this is exactly the perfect example. You're reading this pasuk like an Amoritz, all of these guys. They think that they're just because they're college graduates and they've written books about literary understanding. They have some idea how to read a pasuk. Ha! What a bunch of idiots. Let's listen to Rav Yitzchak Bar Ovigdimi. Then you'll know how to read a pasuk. And by the way, I might as well tell you that if you never heard the way Ze'iri explains a braita, you ain't ever understood a braita in your life. Komat nita de lo mefarshela ze'ire lo mefarsha. That's not a braita because it's not going to make any sense at all. So let me tell you first about the pasuk. You know how Rav Yitzchak Bar Ovigdimi understood this pasuk? According to what Rebbe is saying, it's brilliant. Rebbe is saying, look at the next pasuk. The next pasuk is obviously referring to a case of Tumas Basar. Of Tumas Adam, right? Because it says, Nefesh kitiga b'chol tamei, b'tumat Adam, etc., etc., v'achal. So there's no discussion at all about this pasuk, is there? No, there's not. Okay, thank you. Will you please tell me whether this pasuk does the same antics of male-female reversals, huh? Read that pasuk, please, says Rebbe. Read the pasuk. Okay, so it does exactly the same thing, and it talks about exactly the same halacha. So what Rebbe is pointing out is that since that pasuk that Rebbe mentioned, what's starting off b'loshon nekeva, it says, nefesh ki tiga. That's all nekeva. And it ends, b'loshon nekeva. V'nichrita ha-nefesh ha-imei ha-mea. Perfectly consistent, feminine case. The gender over here is clear. For some crazy reason, right smack bang in the middle, it's loshon zachar be'emtza, right? And nonetheless, it's clearly talking about tumat aguf ha-katuv medaber. So don't give me this jazz about the previous pasuk, meaning Tumas Basar because of the flip between the gender, but take a look at what the pasuk is talking about. The previous pasuk, three psukim ago, was talking about V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei. Then it says, Kol tahor yochal basar. So now we started talking about the person he should eat, as long as he's tahor. Then we move on to the next pasuk, which by any normal understanding would be of now turning to our attention to what we mean, kol tahor yochal basar. But if he's ochel mibsar zevach hashlamim asher Hashem betumah, then he is chayev kares. What do you think the Mishnah, what that pasuk is talking about? Obviously it's talking about basar. So you say, it's talking about the nefesh, the person. So you said, yeah, but it can't be because of the gender change. Like here I'm showing you in the very next pasuk, the very same gender change, and it obviously openly says, do not make the mistake of thinking that we're talking about the tumas basar. We're talking about the tuma of the individual, tumas haguf, right? So Rebbe is simply showing you, stick to your guns. The pasuk is quite clear when you read it. I understand what it's referring to. And don't try to tell me that the gender switch is a reason to read it the wrong way. That's all that Rebbe is saying, which is brilliant. Now, the question of, okay, so why are we repeating it? We'll talk about that later. In the end, it's going to turn out that the Torah repeated the Isser of Kares and Achilas Karshim three different times. And we're going to have to justify the thrice repetition, not just the twice repetition. So hold on to your horses, and we will get to that. It's not a big deal. So that now allows you to understand any pasuk that you haven't heard, the understanding of the ingenious of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avadim, you don't really know what you're talking about. Now, the next thing that we said, and anybody who never heard Ze'iri explain a braita ain't ever heard a braita, I'll bet you want to know what that's referring to. But for that, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow. What do you think about that? Yes, I know it's difficult. Yes, I know that you're sitting at the edge of your chair. Yes, I know that poor Richie's not going to be able to sleep all night, even though he's not here.